College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing I love, and that's meeting new people, meeting new groups, new organizations, and then forming and creating partnerships to help the community. You know, I started a campaign called Spread Love with Locks, where I go to different cities across the country on my own dime. You know, I don't have a 501c3. I'm not set up to receive any cash donations or sponsorships. You know, I like to say I'm a mama with a mouth on a mission to help other parents who have children with special needs. And the one thing that has kept my children safe is those interior combination door locks that I found on Amazon. And so when I see that a child with autism has wandered away from their home and drowned in a nearby lake or was found dead, I load up those locks, I get on a plane or I get in a 9-seater and I go. And I set up block parties with the ice cream truck and the face painters and the balloon animals, so that we can get the locks into the hands of the families who need them. And I don't ever want finances to be a barrier, right? Because the locks are with $30, $40, $50, depending on what kind you get. And for some of us, that doesn't mean like a lot of money. It doesn't seem like a lot of money. But for some folks, it's a game changer. And so I always go with about 50 to 100 locks and give those away to families who have kids with autism who wander. And it doesn't just provide those free locks to the families, but, you know, I try to get as much media coverage as I can so that maybe there's a parent at home who can't afford the lock, who sees a story or who reads about it. And they go out and get the locks for themselves, for their families, or for a loved one who has a child with autism to keep them safe. You know, when I give out 100 locks, I don't say that, you know, oh, I've donated 100 locks to 100 different families. You know, I like to say I've saved 100 lives. I've saved 100 lives. I've saved 72 lives. However many locks that I've given away, that's a life of a child that's saved. And so I was out last month in Marshall doing a talk for a group of amazing early educators talking about how to connect and work collaboratively with parents who have kids with special needs to make sure that the child has the best educational opportunities and also a better quality of life. You know, and so I was talking to Mary Lockhart Finling. Dr. Mary is with United Community Action Partnership, the organization that had me there, and to speak with this, you know, amazing group of probably 100 plus early childhood educators. And you know, we were talking and I was talking about the Spread Locks campaign. And, you know, Miss Mary said, well, we have a little boy out here who wandered away and drowned. And so I want to partner with you to do something like that here. And I said, Miss Mary, I'm there. You just tell me when. Miss Mary said, October the 5th from 10 to noon. I said, Miss Mary, I'm going to be there. And I tell you, I can't wait to go. I'm going to broadcast my show live. But before I get out there, I had to get Miss Mary here. And she is joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Dr. Mary, thank you so much for being on the show.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me, Shaletta. It's really a pleasure to partner with you, and it just came by chance that we had this opportunity to talk about this because it didn't get a lot of coverage.
And I want you to talk to me about it because as connected as I am with the autism community, I was all the way in Boston, all the way in Houston, and here a child right here in Minnesota wandered away and drowned, and I didn't see or hear or know anything about it. Can you give us the details on that?
Well, in June of this summer, we had a former student of ours, little Alex, who was at a family barbecue and wandered away and drowned in the river close by.
Yeah, and that is so heartbreaking. I was actually, you know, chatting with some of your early educators because he was one of your students. And, you know, talk to me about, you know, the impact that that had on, you know, the folks with United Community Action Partnership that actually had a hand in helping to educate little Alex.
Yes, they were, of course, devastated by the incident, and it's still fresh, and it's deep sorrow. And, of course, everyone thinks about, well, what could I have done, and how could I have prevented this? And since it took place out of school time, we all know that Alex was a climber and drawn to water, consistently played in the water table all the time. He was just an adorable, loving little boy, full of smiles all the time.
Mm. And, you know, when we were there and I was speaking to the group, you know, I don't stand behind a podium when I talk. I walk through the crowd and I touch people on the back and rub them and we laugh and high five, you know, because I like to be with the people when I'm doing a presentation or talking. And, you know, I have my notes, but, you know, something in my spirit just told me to talk about those locks. To talk about the work that I was doing. And it did not pertain to y'all. That is not what I came there to do. But it just came up out of my mouth. And immediately when it did, I saw you. You were just like, oh, my God. Were you just like shocked when I started talking about that initiative? Because it was like, I looked over at you. I was like, is she getting mad at me? I couldn't tell what was going on. But that was before I knew about little Alex.
Yeah, we definitely, I was shocked. And it just hit home. And it sounded like, wow, this is something we can do in our community. We serve a lot of children with autism in our Head Start program. Now more than ever, about 20 to 30% of the children we service have some sort of disability. And more and more of the children we serve have diagnosed autism, either an educational diagnosis or a medical diagnosis. And it really hit home when you started talking about that. And those who knew Alex immediately just thought of him.
And they were crying, girl. They had me crying.
They did, yes.
But I have to applaud you because you took the time to have me there to talk to your group about autism. About, you know, how to connect with parents. You know, they can get the information from a book. You can, you know, get all the details that you need to make sure that you're looking out and you know the signs. But it was more than that for you. You wanted to have a parent there so that they could understand how we can connect and collaborate to help these kids get off to a good start and also to educate the parents. Why was that important to you? Because a lot of people don't do that and they don't see the value in doing that, but that is so valuable.
Yes, Head Start has a long history of a whole family, two generation, three generation, what have you, approach to early childhood education. And we involve the whole family. And we know that families and parents are the primary educators of young mm-hmm. children, and we really have to approach it through a partnership. Like you said, we can learn from books and in school and get our degrees, but it's really important that we listen to the parents of children, and they know their child better than anyone else. And it's when we help the family and strengthen the family, we at the same time provide better outcomes for that child long into the future.
And I just the people who are a part of your organization who were there when I was there speaking, they were just so committed and so dedicated to these students. The stories they shared with me, you know, the way that they are working so hard to meet the needs of the children who are neurodiverse while still challenging the kids who are normal developing to learn more and be their best. And then, you know, juggling that parenting dynamic, you know, y'all are the first line of defense when it comes to education.
That's so true. And it really takes a special person to work in the Head Start program and in early childhood. And our staff are so dedicated to what they do. And I always tell them they are truly the best teachers around and the best educators and family service workers. It really is a whole family approach. And actually, a lot of our teaching staff started in the Head Start program as parents themselves of children in the Head Start program. Mm-hmm. And then we helped grow those parents and till they actually became part of our staff. So that is the true story of the Head Start program, too, is that family success and being part of the whole big picture.
Well, I just can't thank you enough for having me out there. Now, if there are folks who want to know more, I know you are always looking for more employees. Families may be looking for you. Head Start has wraparound services, so there may be some resources. How can folks get in touch with you, Dr. Mary, to get more information about whether they are looking for a job, they are looking for a new career, they are looking for the opportunity for their families to be involved, their children, or to get some information?
Yeah, our website is www.unitedcapmn.org, and that is the best way. We have our employment applications right on our website. We have the phone numbers on our website for contacting us, and of course we're always enrolling children, families, and looking for staff that meet our mission as well.
And I just have to remind everybody, October the 5th, that's a Saturday from 10 to noon. We're going to location TBA it right now because we're linking in the Lyon County Sheriff's Department and they want to be involved in this. We're going to have a block party, balloon animals, face painting. Someone donated 25 locks already, and so I'm going to go buy more, and we're going to go out there, Miss Dr. Mary, and we are going to bless the people because we don't want another situation to happen where another child dies. So I thank you for trusting me not only to come and speak to your group, but also to partner with me so we can honor little Alex and we can make sure that there's not another little Alex that happens on our watch.
Yes, thank you so much, and we're so appreciative of spreading this word and doing our part to prevent another accident or death.
Well, I thank you for that. I thank you for being on the show, and we will see you in just a few weeks.
All right, that sounds great. Have a great weekend.
You too, and enjoy the weather, and you all stick around. We've got more to come. It is 1:22. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. A beautiful day to be outside. Not too hot. Blue skies. I'm telling you, we have a dry trend. I was looking at the weather and not a drop of rain is supposed to come out of the sky for the entire week next week. Beautiful temperatures. Today was a little chilly. I did have to turn my heater on. I'm not going to apologize to anybody. If it's 44 degrees outside, best believe the heat will be on in the Brundage home on 72. Mm-hmm. We're going to knock as my grandmother would say, we will knock the chill out of the house. It's off now, but earlier, it was on. And it's going to warm up and get into the 80s next week. So don't worry. It's not time to pull out the snow boots and the parkas just yet. But, you know, we were talking to Dr. Mary Lockhart-Finling from United Community Action Partnership and the Head Start program about one of their students, a little 4-year-old Alex who had autism, wandered away and died, did not get a lot of news coverage. And as connected as I am in the autism community, even I had not heard about it. So on October 5th, I'm going to go out there with my friends from Amazon to Marshall, and we're going to pass out locks to families who have kids with autism who wander so that they can get a free lock because I don't want any child to die. I don't want any parent to cry because they had to fish their child out of a lake. I'm just being as plain as I possibly can. It is what has saved my children's lives. And when that little boy, Waze Ali Muhammad, died in Hopkins, God gave me the idea when I was standing there with his family, with his mama crying on my shoulder to do a lot giveaway. And that's how this whole initiative started. And so they're keyless electronic entry doorknob locks, so that the combination is on the inside of the door instead of the outside. So if the child doesn't have the 6 to 10 digit combination code, they can't get out. And I find these on Amazon. And so we've got a caller on the line. Miss Jane is there. Hey, Miss Jane, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am good. Now, what city are you calling from?
I'm calling from St. Paul.
Hey, St. Paul. Now, Miss Jane, you were calling about the locks that I give away with my Spread Love with Locks campaign.
Yes, and you mentioned, and I was driving in my car, and I just got home, and I was finishing listening to your segment about the locks, and you mentioned the name of the lock at the beginning of the segment, but then it was a kind of a long segment, and then at the end you didn't repeat the name, and I wanted to write that down so that I can tell people that I have come across that might have need for the lock, but I didn't have the exact name of it. So,
well, Miss Jane, can I just first of all thank you for listening to the show, but also for spreading this information. And, you know, you and so many, Charlotte and Linnea and Jabbar and Tom Graves and Greta, y'all know this is a show about action. We want to spread information and give folks information and connect them to resources so that they and their families can have a better quality of life. So I thank you for calling back to get that information. So Miss Jane from St. Paul on Amazon, and this is the only place where you can find them. And believe me, I've had these locks for 5 years on my house. It's the only thing that's kept my kids safe. They don't have them at Menards. They're not at Home Depot. They're not at Lowe's. They're not at Ace Hardware. The only place you can find these locks are at Amazon. And Miss Jane, they're called Keyless Electronic Entry Doorknobs. So if you go on Amazon and you click in the search, keyless electronic entry doorknobs.
Doorknobs.
Yes, ma'am. Keyless electronic entry doorknobs. Right. And so if you type that in the search bar on Amazon, you're going to get about 10 of them that show up. And the way that they look, Miss Jane, is that there's a combination, you know, on the, a bunch of numbers and a pound and a star on the doorknob. And so you can program a 6 to 10 digit code. And so that combination is on the inside of the house. And so if the kid does not have that code, they cannot get out. Now, the ones that I buy are $37.90. They have some that go all the way up to $49.99. But as long as you have the ones that have the interior combination door locks, where you can press the numbers in, you'll see the keypad. That is fine. So they start out at $37.90, and they go all the way up. The most expensive one is $49.99. You know, some people, you know, all their doorknobs and latches are silver. So they've got some that are silver. They've got some that are gold. They've got some that are copper or brass looking. Because, you know, some people care about, you know, everything in the house matching. I'm not one of those people, Miss Jane. I told somebody, they were like, well, what kind do you get? I said, I get whatever is the cheapest because I don't have to match. I don't care. I just care that my kids are safe. I just want something on these doors to keep my kids from wandering. And Ms. Jane, I have to tell you, there were weeks when I didn't bathe. There were times when I had to wait for somebody to come to my house so I could go brush my teeth or pee. With the door closed was not an option, because the moment that I would go get in the shower or try to go to the restroom with the door closed, my child would open the door and run. And Ms. Jane, by the time I pull my pants up, wash my hands, and try to go outside, I don't even know which direction he went in.
God bless you.
and the neighbors would bring him back home. My friend Patricia Lopez, who used to work at the Star Tribune, she's at Bloomberg now. She painted me this beautiful picture that is hanging up in my house right now. Because for me to wash dishes, Miss Jane, my son Daniel would have to grab me around my waist. And that's the only way that I could turn my back on him to wash dishes or cook. So I would literally be standing there cooking or washing dishes, and my son would have his hands around my waist. And Patricia Lopez saw that, and she was so moved by it that she painted me a photograph, and that photograph is in my house right now. That's the only way that I could wash dishes or do anything in the kitchen to turn my back. And it's that serious. But, you know, when I got those locks, all that changed. I could wash dishes. I could, you know, pee with the door closed. I could take me a quick shower, you know, even sleeping. I could sleep and know that my child could not get out of the house because he did not have those combinations.
And I just want to say thank you so, so much for all that you're doing to spread all the word about kids with autism and other problems. I enjoy is not the right word, but by the same token, I have to say that I do enjoy listening to your show, especially when you talk about the issues and the solutions that you have found in your life. I'm a longtime pediatric nurse, so I will, you know, occasionally encounter people that have these problems and have need for some advice. And so I want to say thank you so much, and God bless you for all that you have had to do before you got these locks and continue to have to do in other ways with your children. And you are continuing to spread those blessings to all of us that listen to your show.
Well, Miss Jane, I can't thank you enough for your support and your prayers. I tell you, it's what keeps me going, knowing that, you know, folks like you are out there praying for me. I can feel it. I'm telling you, I can feel it. It'll be days when I'm tired or, you know, feel like I just want to lay down and I don't want to get up and go. And then I'll feel a rush in my spirit and I'll know, you know, somebody is praying for me. Now I know it's Miss Jane in St. Paul.
Absolutely. Add me to the list.
All right, Ms. Jane. Well, you have a beautiful weekend. Thank you so much for calling.
Well, and you not only have a beautiful weekend, but a beautiful rest of the year, because you deserve it. And thank you for the information.
All right. God bless you. And y'all stick around. We've got more to come. There is a reason that I have crooked teeth in my mouth. There's a reason that I still, at 52 years old, have my wisdom teeth, all four of them, is because I hate going to the dentist. And why do I hate going to the dentist? Because I'm a scared cat. Because I am afraid. I'm not afraid to say that I have a fear of going to the dentist, which has prevented me from having good oral health care my entire life. And I thank God that my children have a father who, you know, loves going to the dentist, got braces and, you know, has great oral health care, does his annual exams, has stuff replaced and fixed whenever stuff needs to be replaced and fixed. And he makes sure that these kids get to the dentist every single year for checkups and other things. Because I can't even tell you that I would take them. For me, I don't even want to go over there with my kids. Like, if they're going, I don't even want to go over there with them. That's how I feel about the dentist. Until I became friends with Dr. Q, also known as Dr. Quint Lester. He is one of my very best buddies, a church member of ours. Our children are being raised together over there at Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church. And he has purchased a new dental facility, the Hilltop Dental Clinic over in Maplewood off of County Road B East. And starting on September the 9th, Twin City residents will have access to this dental practice owned and operated by a black dentist. And so one of Dr. Q's missions in life is to welcome and work with patients like me who have dental anxiety. So I had to have him come on the show and talk about this. He's joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Dr. Q, thank you so much for being on the Shaletta Show.
Thank you so much, Shaletta, for having me. How are you today?
I am good. I'm hearing some wind or something going on there. I don't know. I'll let Josh put you on hold so y'all can figure that out, because I want to make sure that folks hear you and they can hear what we're saying. Josh, if you can put Dr. Q on hold and figure out what is going on with his phone. I don't know if he's on speaker or if he's in a windy facility, but I have pulled some stats that I can talk about while Josh and Dr. Q work on the audio. But according to the American Dental Association, a mere 3.8% of dentists in the U.S. are black. In Minnesota, that figure is even lower. And in 2019, Minnesota dental workforce reported by the Minnesota Department of Health found that 1% of Minnesota's dentists are black or African American. So you are much needed, Dr. Q. How did you even want to become a dentist?
So for me, my first experience, my first desire to become a dentist came after first needing some dental work myself, which led to my discovery that I had a relative, actually a few relatives that were dentists, that enabled me to meet them, shadow them, and just really fall in love with the work that they were doing. Because they were also treating patients who previously had bad experience with dental care, and just being able to witness how they interacted with the patients, how they were viewed as a pillar in their communities, it inspired me to, you know, in turn want to pursue not only a career in healthcare or a career that had a direct hand in helping people, but a career that is often looked at as in a negative light, if you will.
Yeah, we scared of y'all. We don't want to be around y'all. You know, it's one thing to not want to go to the doctor, but, you know, the dentist is a whole different animal. How do you work to erase some of those barriers? How do you work to bridge the gap between, you know, our fear and actually needing to make sure that we come in for those yearly exams, we get things fixed, we practice good oral hygiene, and then we pass that on to our children?
So my approach, which may seem very counterintuitive, and it's actually kind of two-part. First and foremost, and most important to me, I act like myself. I treat patients like they are people, and like they have the ability and the ultimate choice in doing what they want to do. So my goal, my job as a dentist is not to make patients do anything. My job is to tell them what I see, tell them the causes and effects of what I see and how they present and, you know, what may be hurting them. And then I let them do with that information what they want. My hope is that after explaining, after showing, after building that rapport, that they want to do the treatment, or, you know, want to get out of pain, or want to be able to smile. But at the end of the day, I put that choice in my patient's hands.
And, you know, having that autonomy, having that ability, I'm guessing it's a fine dance, you know, to give us that information and then, you know, equip us with the tools that we need, the information that we need, so that we can make wise choices for ourselves and our families.
Yes, I would definitely say it's a very fine line to walk, because on one hand, you can take what I just said and kind of construe it to mean that I don't care about the patients, which I would say is the furthest from the truth. But that song and dance really comes down to getting enough information so that the patient can make an informed decision, but not delivering anything in a way where anybody feels forced or trapped into doing anything. I have patients that we go through this, and you know, they want to decide, or they decide to move forward with treatment. Once treatment starts, it's too much for them. And I've heard from patients of previous interactions with providers where their concerns, if you will, are minimized, and you know, they're pressured to continue forward with treatment. But like I said, that's not my approach. If a patient wants to stop in mid-treatment, we'll do everything that we need to do to safely stop that appointment or close up anything that's open or what have you. But to put the onus on the patient that, no, we have to finish this, when it can be stopped, we're stopping.
Well, I appreciate that because that the anxiety and the fear are real. But, you know, you've got a new practice that you're opening. We got to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, I want to talk about the new practice that you're opening over in Maplewood, the Hilltop Dental Clinic, and starting on the 9th, and how you're going to use this clinic and your work as a dentist to erase some of those you know, racial components and barriers that keep people from communities of color from getting to the dentist. More with Dr. Q when we come back. It is 1:49. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. A beautiful day, a nice crisp 65 degrees, not reaching a high today of more than 69. This is a great backyard barbecue day, I tell you. And, you know, it is a great day to talk to Dr. Quentin Lester. He is opening a new dental practice, welcoming patients with dental anxiety. He is joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, and we are continuing our conversation because, you know, Dr. Lester, one of the, you know, quotes that I read from you and a couple of the news stories that have been done about your practice that's opening in Maplewood on the 9th is that you say you want to be a beacon and a place of refuge, especially for those who have had a bad experience in dentistry. And, you know, you talk about being excited to providing a safe space for patients to get comprehensive and compassionate oral care. You know, but one of the things that, you know, I'm looking at is representation and how much it matters. I am 52 years old. I have never had a black dentist. You know, some of the quotes that I, you know, pulled earlier, 3% of dentists in the U.S. are black and 1% of Minnesota's dentists are black or African American. And I know that is not lost on you.
Mm-hmm. That is true. It's just going to be hard, both as a provider of color and as a patient of color to find that representation and to be able to connect in such a way where, you know, that healthcare can be established and maintained. And my role in being a provider of color, a black dentist, is to increase that representation so that, you know, nobody can say, oh, wow, I've never seen a black dentist, or I've never seen a black psychiatrist, or a black pilot, or a black astronaut, or a black anything. I don't think it is right for anybody to feel that or to not have that experience, because there are people in all areas of life, from all places of life, that are doing amazing things. And I think we owe it to ourselves as a nation, to do all that we can to increase that representation so that the next generation, we can easily pass that torch off.
And, you know, we have a lot of families who listen to our show who have mixed race children, mixed race grandchildren, like my friend Charlotte, and they're always looking for opportunities for their young children to see black doctors, see black dentists, see black violinists. And so it was so important for me to have you come on and talk about the Hilltop Dental Clinic. Your new practice is starting on September 9th at 50 County Road B. be East in Maplewood. You graduated from Meharry Medical College. You have almost a decade of experience as a dentist, and you're going to have a staff of, I think, 7 people. I wanted to make sure I did all my research because I want to make sure that people know that you are there and available. Talk to me about that, because, you know, you could have just went and worked for somebody else. You could have just went and worked in somebody else's clinic, but it was important for you to open your own practice. Why was that? I think we might have lost Dr.
Might have lost him.
Might have lost him. But I want to make sure everyone knows that the practice, Hilltop Dental Clinic at 50 County Road B East in Maplewood, is opening on September 9th. And the website is thehilltopdental.com. Let me make sure I got that right. The Hilltop Dental.com is where you can go to get more information, get the address, connect with Dr. Q. On his website, it says The Fun Dentist. And so that is so great that he is The Fun Dentist. I know that I'll be making sure to take my children there, you know, on a regular basis. And Dr. Q, I was just telling Josh that it's not lost on you that, you know, you could have gone to work anywhere and been a provider at somebody else's clinic, but you opened your own clinic. Talk to me about why that was important.
Yes. So that was important to me because as a practice owner, I have direct say-so in how our patients can be served. Whereas in the event of working with someone, you're limited to, you know, what really matters to them, which after working for some time, the more I realized, the more it was revealed to me that that wasn't where I was supposed to be. And that this path that I'm currently on is just where God is taking me.
Yeah. And you are a man of faith, and that is right there on your website. And I love your family, your wife, and your 4 kids. And the one thing that I love most about Dr. Q, this tells you what kind of not just dentist he is, but what kind of person and man he is. His grandmother lives with him from Georgia, sent for your grandma. I call her mother, and she lives there with you. And you know, an intergenerational household reminds me of when my father-in-law, Papa B, lived with us. And just to see the way that you take care of your grandmother and you love on her, it just absolutely warms my heart. And I know that, you know, your patients for you are just an extension of your family, right?
That is correct. That is correct. I treat all my patients the same. They are all family. I will tell you exactly what it is I see as if you were cousin, brother, mother, father, grandparent, or what have you. Anybody who steps into Hilltop Dental, they become a part of the family.
Okay, so how can people connect with you? I gave them the website, thehilltopdental.com, thehilltopdental.com. And when you go there, you can see Dr. Q's smiling face. His logo is a tooth illuminated, which is amazing. Brighter smiles, brighter lives is his catchphrase. And then down at the bottom, Dr. Q, is the contact information. Is that the best way for people to get more information from you and to sign up and to get an appointment or maybe come and take a tour? Because you might have to start out with a tour before you can get us in the chair.
We can do it. But that contact information is the best currently. More coming soon as far as our social media and, you know, what have you. That will all be coming soon and added to the website. And my plan is to be very active in the community. Community service is very important to me, as is just being that place for the next generation. So once we are established, my goal, my plan with that is to just to open the door for mentoring and for shadowing, to just increase that representation and just that behind the scenes look at what it is to work in the dental field.
Well, I thank you so much for being on the show, for being a part of the broadcast, and for opening this clinic to make this a community safe haven for people. Thank you, Dr. Q, for being with us. It is 1:58, and we've got another hour of the Shaletta Show coming up. There's one thing I love, and that's meeting new people, meeting new groups, new organizations, and then forming and creating partnerships to help the community. You know, I started a campaign called Spread Love with Locks, where I go to different cities across the country on my own dime. You know, I don't have a 501c3. I'm not set up to receive any cash donations or sponsorships. You know, I like to say I'm a mama with a mouth on a mission to help other parents who have children with special needs. And the one thing that has kept my children safe is those interior combination door locks that I found on Amazon. And so when I see that a child with autism has wandered away from their home and drowned in a nearby lake, or was found dead, I load up those locks, I get on a plane, or I get in a 9-seater, and I go. And I set up block parties with the ice cream truck and the face painters and the balloon animals, so that we can get the locks into the hands of the families who need them. And I don't ever want finances to be a barrier, right? Because the locks are with $30, $40, $50, depending on what kind you get. And for some of us, that doesn't mean like a lot of money. It doesn't seem like a lot of money, but for some folks, it's a game changer. And so I always go with about 50 to 100 locks and give those away to families who have kids with autism who wander. And it doesn't just provide those free locks to the families, but, you know, I try to get as much media coverage as I can so that maybe there's a parent at home who can't afford the lock, who sees a story or who reads about it. And they go out and get the locks for themselves, for their families, or for a loved one who has a child with autism to keep them safe. You know, when I give out 100 locks, I don't say that, you know, oh, I've donated 100 locks to 100 different families. You know, I like to say I've saved 100 lives. I've saved 100 lives. I've saved 72 lives. However many locks that I've given away, that's a life of a child that's saved. And so I was out last month in Marshall doing a talk for a group of amazing early educators, talking about how to connect and work collaboratively with parents who have kids with special needs to make sure that the child has the best educational opportunities and also a better quality of life. You know, and so I was talking to Mary Lockhart Finling. Dr. Mary is with United Community Action Partnership, the organization that had me there, and to speak with this, you know, amazing group of probably 100 plus early childhood educators. And you know, we were talking and I was talking about the Spread Locks campaign. And, you know, Miss Mary said, well, we have a little boy out here who wandered away and drowned. And so I want to partner with you to do something like that here. And I said, Miss Mary, I'm there. You just tell me when. Miss Mary said, October the 5th from 10 to noon. I said, Miss Mary, I'm going to be there. And I tell you, I can't wait to go. I'm going to broadcast my show live. But before I get out there, I had to get Miss Mary here. And she is joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Dr. Mary, thank you so much for being on the show.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me, Shaletta. It's really a pleasure to partner with you, and it just came by chance that we had this opportunity to talk about this because it didn't get a lot of coverage.
And I want you to talk to me about it because as connected as I am with the autism community, I was all the way in Boston, all the way in Houston, and here a child right here in Minnesota wandered away and drowned, and I didn't see or hear or know anything about it. Can you give us the details on that?
Well, in June of this summer, we had a former student of ours, little Alex, who was at a family barbecue and wandered away and drowned in the river close by.
Yeah, and that is so heartbreaking. I was actually, you know, chatting with some of your early educators because he was one of your students. And, you know, talk to me about, you know, the impact that that had on, you know, the folks with United Community Action Partnership that actually had a hand in helping to educate little Alex.
Yes, they were, of course, devastated by the incident, and it's still fresh, and it's deep sorrow. And, of course, everyone thinks about, well, what could I have done, and how could I have prevented this? And since it took place out of school time, we all know that Alex was a climber and drawn to water, consistently played in the water table all the time. He was just an adorable, loving little boy, full of smiles all the time.
Mm. And, you know, when we were there and I was speaking to the group, you know, I don't stand behind a podium when I talk. I walk through the crowd and I touch people on the back and rub them and we laugh and high five, you know, because I like to be with the people when I'm doing a presentation or talking. And, you know, I have my notes, but, you know, something in my spirit just told me to talk about those locks. To talk about the work that I was doing. And it did not pertain to y'all. That is not what I came there to do. But it just came up out of my mouth. And immediately when it did, I saw you. You were just like, oh, my God. Were you just like shocked when I started talking about that initiative? Because it was like, I looked over at you. I was like, is she getting mad at me? I couldn't tell what was going on. But that was before I knew about little Alex.
Yeah, we definitely, I was shocked. And it just hit home. And it sounded like, wow, this is something we can do in our community. We serve a lot of children with autism in our Head Start program. Now more than ever, about 20 to 30% of the children we service have some sort of disability. And more and more of the children we serve have diagnosed autism, either an educational diagnosis or a medical diagnosis. And it really hit home when you started talking about that. And those who knew Alex immediately just thought of him.
And they were crying, girl. They had me crying.
They did, yes.
But I have to applaud you because you took the time to have me there to talk to your group about autism. About, you know, how to connect with parents. You know, they can get the information from a book. You can, you know, get all the details that you need to make sure that you're looking out and you know the signs. But it was more than that for you. You wanted to have a parent there so that they could understand how we can connect and collaborate to help these kids get off to a good start and also to educate the parents. Why was that important to you? Because a lot of people don't do that and they don't see the value in doing that, but that is so valuable.
Yes, Head Start has a long history of a whole family, two generation, three generation, what have you, approach to early childhood education. And we involve the whole family. And we know that families and parents are the primary educators of young mm-hmm. children, and we really have to approach it through a partnership. Like you said, we can learn from books and in school and get our degrees, but it's really important that we listen to the parents of children, and they know their child better than anyone else. And it's when we help the family and strengthen the family, we at the same time provide better outcomes for that child long into the future.
And I just the people who are a part of your organization who were there when I was there speaking, they were just so committed and so dedicated to these students. The stories they shared with me, you know, the way that they are working so hard to meet the needs of the children who are neurodiverse while still challenging the kids who are normal developing to learn more and be their best. And then, you know, juggling that parenting dynamic, you know, y'all are the first line of defense when it comes to education.
That's so true. And it really takes a special person to work in the Head Start program and in early childhood. And our staff are so dedicated to what they do. And I always tell them they are truly the best teachers around and the best educators and family service workers. It really is a whole family approach. And actually, a lot of our teaching staff started in the Head Start program as parents themselves of children in the Head Start program. Mm-hmm. And then we helped grow those parents and till they actually became part of our staff. So that is the true story of the Head Start program, too, is that family success and being part of the whole big picture.
Well, I just can't thank you enough for having me out there. Now, if there are folks who want to know more, I know you are always looking for more employees. Families may be looking for you. Head Start has wraparound services, so there may be some resources. How can folks get in touch with you, Dr. Mary, to get more information about whether they are looking for a job, they are looking for a new career, they are looking for the opportunity for their families to be involved, their children, or to get some information?
Yeah, our website is www.unitedcapmn.org, and that is the best way. We have our employment applications right on our website. We have the phone numbers on our website for contacting us, and of course we're always enrolling children, families, and looking for staff that meet our mission as well.
And I just have to remind everybody, October the 5th, that's a Saturday from 10 to noon. We're going to location TBA it right now because we're linking in the Lyon County Sheriff's Department and they want to be involved in this. We're going to have a block party, balloon animals, face painting. Someone donated 25 locks already, and so I'm going to go buy more, and we're going to go out there, Miss Dr. Mary, and we are going to bless the people because we don't want another situation to happen where another child dies. So I thank you for trusting me not only to come and speak to your group, but also to partner with me so we can honor little Alex and we can make sure that there's not another little Alex that happens on our watch.
Yes, thank you so much, and we're so appreciative of spreading this word and doing our part to prevent another accident or death.
Well, I thank you for that. I thank you for being on the show, and we will see you in just a few weeks.
All right, that sounds great. Have a great weekend.
You too, and enjoy the weather, and you all stick around. We've got more to come. It is 1:22. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. A beautiful day to be outside. Not too hot. Blue skies. I'm telling you, we have a dry trend. I was looking at the weather and not a drop of rain is supposed to come out of the sky for the entire week next week. Beautiful temperatures. Today was a little chilly. I did have to turn my heater on. I'm not going to apologize to anybody. If it's 44 degrees outside, best believe the heat on heat will be on in the Brundage home on 72. Mm-hmm. We're going to knock the, as my grandmother would say, we will knock the chill out of the house. It's off now, but earlier it was on. And it's going to warm up and get into the 80s next week. So don't worry. It's not time to pull out the snow boots and the parkas just yet. But, you know, we were talking to Dr. Mary Lockhart-Finling from United Community Action Partnership and the Head Start program about one of their students, a little 4-year-old Alex who had autism, wandered away and died, did not get a lot of news coverage. And as connected as I am in the autism community, even I had not heard about it. So on October 5th, I'm going to go out there with my friends from Amazon to Marshall, and we're going to pass out locks to families who have kids with autism who wander so that they can get a free lock because I don't want any child to die. I don't want any parent to cry because they had to fish their child out of a lake. I'm just being as plain as I possibly can. It is what has saved my children's lives. And when that little boy, Waze Ali Muhammad, died in Hopkins, God gave me the idea when I was standing there with his family, with his mama crying on my shoulder, to do a lot giveaway. And that's how this whole initiative started. And so they're keyless electronic entry doorknob locks, so that the combination is on the inside of the door instead of the outside. So if the child doesn't have the 6 to 10 digit combination code, they can't get out. And I find these on Amazon. And so we've got a caller on the line. Miss Jane is there. Hey, Miss Jane, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am good. Now, what city are you calling from?
I'm calling from St. Paul.
Hey, St. Paul. Now, Miss Jane, you were calling about the locks that I give away with my Spread Love with Locks campaign.
Yes, and you mentioned, and I was driving in my car, and I just got home, and I was finishing listening to your segment about the locks, and you mentioned the name of the lock at the beginning of the segment, but then it was a kind of a long segment, and then at the end you didn't repeat the name, and I wanted to write that down so that I can tell people that I have come across that might have need for the lock, but I didn't have the exact name of it. So,
well, Miss Jane, can I just first of all thank you for listening to the show, but also for spreading this information. And, you know, you and so many, Charlotte and Linnea and Jabbar and Tom Graves and Greta, y'all know this is a show about action. We want to spread information and give folks information and connect them to resources so that they and their families can have a better quality of life. So I thank you for calling back to get that information. So Miss Jane from St. Paul on Amazon, and this is the only place where you can find them. And believe me, I've had these locks for 5 years on my house. It's the only thing that's kept my kids safe. They don't have them at Menards. They're not at Home Depot. They're not at Lowe's. They're not at Ace Hardware. The only place you can find these locks are at Amazon. And Miss Jane, they're called Keyless Electronic Entry Doorknobs. So if you go on Amazon and you click in the search, keyless electronic entry doorknobs.
Doorknobs.
Yes, ma'am. Keyless electronic entry doorknobs. Right. And so if you type that in the search bar on Amazon, you're going to get about 10 of them that show up. And the way that they look, Miss Jane, is that there's a combination, you know, on the, a bunch of numbers and a pound and a star on the doorknob. And so you can program a 6 to 10 digit code. And so that combination is on the inside of the house. And so if the kid does not have that code, they cannot get out. Now, the ones that I buy are $37.90. They have some that go all the way up to $49.99. But as long as you have the ones that have the interior combination door locks, where you can press the numbers in, you'll see the keypad. That is fine. So they start out at $37.90, and they go all the way up. The most expensive one is $49.99. You know, some people, you know, all their doorknobs and latches are silver. So they've got some that are silver. They've got some that are gold. They've got some that are copper or brass looking. Because, you know, some people care about, everything in the house matching. I'm not one of those people, Miss Jane. I told somebody, they were like, well, what kind do you get? I said, I get whatever is the cheapest because I don't have to match. I don't care. I just care that my kids are safe. I just want something on these doors to keep my kids from wandering. And Miss Jane, I have to tell you, there were weeks when I didn't bathe. There were times when I had to wait for somebody to come to my house so I could go brush my teeth or pee. With the door closed was not an option, because the moment that I would go get in the shower or try to go to the restroom with the door closed, my child would open the door and run. And Miss Jane, by the time I pull my pants up, wash my hands, and try to go outside, I don't even know which direction he went in.
God bless you.
and the neighbors would bring him back home. My friend Patricia Lopez, who used to work at the Star Tribune, she's at Bloomberg now. She painted me this beautiful picture that is hanging up in my house right now. Because for me to wash dishes, Miss Jane, my son Daniel would have to grab me around my waist. And that's the only way that I could turn my back on him to wash dishes or cook. So I would literally be standing there cooking or washing dishes, and my son would have his hands around my waist. And Patricia Lopez saw that, and she was so moved by it that she painted me a photograph, and that photograph is in my house right now. That's the only way that I could wash dishes or do anything in the kitchen to turn my back. And it's that serious. But, you know, when I got those locks, all that changed. I could wash dishes. I could, you know, pee with the door closed. I could take me a quick shower, you know, even sleeping. I could sleep and know that my child could not get out of the house because he did not have those combinations.
And I just want to say thank you so, so much for all that you're doing to spread all the word about kids with autism and other problems. I enjoy is not the right word, but by the same token, I have to say that I do enjoy listening to your show, especially when you talk about the issues and the solutions that you have found in your life. I'm a longtime pediatric nurse, so I will, you know, occasionally encounter people that have these problems and have need for some advice. And so I want to say thank you so much, and God bless you for all that you have had to do before you got these locks and continue to have to do in other ways with your children. And you are continuing to spread those blessings to all of us that listen to your show.
Well, Miss Jane, I can't thank you enough for your support and your prayers. I tell you, it's what keeps me going, knowing that, you know, folks like you are out there praying for me. I can feel it. I'm telling you, I can feel it. It'll be days when I'm tired or, you know, feel like I just want to lay down and I don't want to get up and go. And then I'll feel a rush in my spirit and I'll know, you know, somebody is praying for me. Now I know it's Miss Jane in St. Paul.
Absolutely. Add me to the list.
All right, Ms. Jane. Well, you have a beautiful weekend. Thank you so much for calling.
Well, and you not only have a beautiful weekend, but a beautiful rest of the year, because you deserve it. And thank you for the information.
All right. God bless you. And y'all stick around. We've got more to come. There is a reason that I have crooked teeth in my mouth. There's a reason that I still, at 52 years old, have my wisdom teeth. All four of them. Is because I hate going to the dentist. And why do I hate going to the dentist? Because I'm a scared cat. Because I am afraid. I'm not afraid to say that I have a fear of going to the dentist, which has prevented me from having good oral health care my entire life. And I thank God that my children have a father who, you know, loves going to the dentist, got braces and, you know, has great oral health care, does his annual exams, has stuff replaced and fixed whenever stuff needs to be replaced and fixed. And he makes sure that these kids get to the dentist every single year for checkups and other things. Because I can't even tell you that I would take them. For me, I don't even want to go over there with my kids. Like, if they're going, I don't even want to go over there with them. That's how I feel about the dentist. Until I became friends with Dr. Q, also known as Dr. Quint Lester. He is one of my very best buddies, a church member of ours. Our children are being raised together over there at Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church. And he has purchased a new dental facility, the Hilltop Dental Clinic, over in Maplewood off of County Road B East. And starting on September the 9th, Twin City residents will have access to this dental practice owned and operated by a black dentist. And so one of Dr. Q's missions in life is to welcome and work with patients like me who have dental anxiety. So I had to have him come on the show and talk about this. He's joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Dr. Q, thank you so much for being on the Shaletta Show.
Thank you so much, Shaletta, for having me. How are you today?
I am good. I'm hearing some wind or something going on there. I don't know. I'll let Josh put you on hold so y'all can figure that out, because I want to make sure that folks hear you and they can hear what we're saying. Josh, if you can put Dr. Q on hold and figure out what is going on with his phone. I don't know if he's on speaker or if he's in a windy facility, but I have pulled some stats that I can talk about while Josh and Dr. Q work on the audio. But according to the American Dental Association, a mere 3.8% of dentists in the U.S. are black. In Minnesota, that figure is even lower. And in 2019, Minnesota dental workforce reported by the Minnesota Department of Health found that 1% of Minnesota's dentists are black or African American. So you are much needed, Dr. Q. How did you even want to become a dentist?
So for me, my first experience, my first desire to become a dentist came after first needing some dental work myself, which led to my discovery that I had a relative, actually a few relatives that were dentists, that enabled me to meet them, shadow them, and just really fall in love with the work that they were doing. Because they were also treating patients who previously had bad experience with dental care, and just being able to witness how they interacted with the patients, how they were viewed as a pillar in their communities, it inspired me to, you know, in turn want to pursue not only a career in healthcare or a career that had a direct hand in helping people, but a career that is often looked at as in a negative light, if you will.
Yeah, we scared of y'all. We don't want to be around y'all. You know, it's one thing to not want to go to the doctor, but, you know, the dentist is a whole different animal. How do you work to erase some of those barriers? How do you work to bridge the gap between, you know, our fear and actually needing to make sure that we come in for those yearly exams, we get things fixed, we practice good oral hygiene, and then we pass that on to our children?
So my approach, which may seem very counterintuitive, and is actually kind of two part. First and foremost, and most important to me, I act like myself. I treat patients like they are people, and like they have the ability and the ultimate choice in doing what they want to do. So my goal, my job as a dentist is not to make patients do anything. My job is to tell them what I see, tell them the causes and effects of what I see and how they present and, you know, what may be hurting them. And then I let them do with that information what they want. My hope is that after explaining, after showing, after building that rapport, that they want to do the treatment, or, you know, want to get out of pain, or want to be able to smile. But at the end of the day, I put that choice in my patient's hands.
And, you know, having that autonomy, having that ability, I'm guessing it's a fine dance, you know, to give us that information and then, you know, equip us with the tools that we need, the information that we need, so that we can make wise choices for ourselves and our families.
Yes, I would definitely say it's a very fine line to walk, because on one hand, you can take what I just said and kind of construe it to mean that I don't care about the patients, which I would say is the furthest from the truth. But that song and dance really comes down to getting enough information so that the patient can make an informed decision, but not delivering anything in a way where anybody feels forced or trapped into doing anything. I have patients that we go through this, and you know, they want to decide, or they decide to move forward with treatment. Once treatment starts, it's too much for them. And I've heard from patients of previous interactions with providers where their concerns, if you will, are minimized, and you know, they're pressured to continue forward with treatment. But like I said, that's not my approach. If a patient wants to stop in mid-treatment, we'll do everything that we need to do to safely stop that appointment or close up anything that's open or what have you. But to put the onus on the patient that, no, we have to finish this, when it can be stopped, we're stopping.
Well, I appreciate that because the anxiety and the fear are real. But, you know, you've got a new practice that you're opening. We got to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, I want to talk about the new practice that you're opening over in Maplewood, the Hilltop Dental Clinic, and starting on the 9th, and how you're going to use this clinic and your work as a dentist to erase some of those you know, racial components and barriers that keep people from communities of color from getting to the dentist. More with Dr. Q when we come back. It is 1:49. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. A beautiful day, a nice crisp 65 degrees, not reaching a high today of more than 69. This is a great backyard barbecue day, I tell you. And, you know, it is a great day to talk to Dr. Quentin Lester. He is opening a new dental practice, welcoming patients with dental anxiety. He is joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, and we are continuing our conversation because, you know, Dr. Lester, one of the, you know, quotes that I read from you and a couple of the news stories that have been done about your practice that's opening in Maplewood on the 9th is that you say you want to be a beacon and a place of refuge, especially for those who have had a bad experience in dentistry. And, you know, you talk about being excited to providing a safe space for patients to get comprehensive and compassionate oral care. You know, but one of the things that, you know, I'm looking at is representation and how much it matters. I am 52 years old. I have never had a black dentist. You know, some of the quotes that I, you know, pulled earlier, 3% of dentists in the U.S. are black and 1% of Minnesota's dentists are black or African-American. And I know that is not lost on you.
Mm-hmm. That is true. It just can be hard, both as a provider of color and as a patient of color to find that representation and to be able to connect in such a way where, you know, that healthcare can be established and maintained. And my role in being a provider of color, a black dentist, is to increase that representation so that, you know, nobody can say, oh, wow, I've never seen a black dentist, or I've never seen a black psychiatrist, or a black pilot, or a black astronaut, or a black anything. I don't think it is right for anybody to feel that or to not have that experience, because there are people in all areas of life, from all places of life, that are doing amazing things. And I think we owe it to ourselves as a nation, to do all that we can to increase that representation so that the next generation, we can easily pass that torch off.
And, you know, we have a lot of families who listen to our show who have mixed race children, mixed race grandchildren, like my friend Charlotte, and they're always looking for opportunities for their young children to see black doctors, see black dentists, see black violinists. And so it was so important for me to have you come on and talk about the Hilltop Dental Clinic. Your new practice is starting on September 9th at 50 County Road B. B East in Maplewood. You graduated from Meharry Medical College. You have almost a decade of experience as a dentist, and you're going to have a staff of, I think, 7 people. I wanted to make sure I did all my research because I want to make sure that people know that you are there and available. Talk to me about that, because, you know, you could have just went and worked for somebody else. You could have just went and worked in somebody else's clinic, but it was important for you to open your own practice. Why was that? I think we might have lost Dr.
Might have lost him.
Might have lost him. But I want to make sure everyone knows that the practice, Hilltop Dental Clinic at 50 County Road B East in Maplewood, is opening on September 9th. And the website is thehilltopdental.com. Let me make sure I got that right. The Hilltop Dental.com is where you can go to get more information, get the address, connect with Dr. Q. On his website, it says the Fun Dentist. And so that is so great that he is the Fun Dentist. I know that I'll be making sure to take my children there, you know, on a regular basis. And Dr. Q, I was just telling Josh that it's not lost on you that, you know, you could have gone to work anywhere and been a provider at somebody else's clinic, but you opened your own clinic. Talk to me about why that was important.
Yes. Yeah, so that was important to me because as a practice owner, I have direct say-so in how our patients can be served. Whereas in the event of working with someone, you're limited to, you know, what really matters to them, which after working for some time, the more I realized, the more it was revealed to me that that wasn't where I was supposed to be, and that this path that I'm currently on is just where God is taking me.
Yeah. And you are a man of faith, and that is right there on your website. And I love your family, your wife, and your 4 kids. And the one thing that I love most about Dr. Q, this tells you what kind of not just dentist he is, but what kind of person and man he is. His grandmother lives with him from Georgia, sent for your grandma. I call her mother, and she lives there with you. And you know, an intergenerational household reminds me of when my father-in-law, Papa B, lived with us. And just to see the way that you take care of your grandmother and you love on her, it just absolutely warms my heart. And I know that, you know, your patients for you are just an extension of your family, right?
That is correct. That is correct. I treat all my patients the same. They are all family. I will tell you exactly what it is I see as if you were cousin, brother, mother, father, grandparent, or what have you. Anybody who steps into Hilltop Dental, they become a part of the family.
Okay, so how can people connect with you? I gave them the website, thehilltopdental.com, thehilltopdental.com. And when you go there, you can see Dr. Q's smiling face. His logo is a tooth illuminated, which is amazing. Brighter smiles, brighter lives is his catchphrase. And then down at the bottom, Dr. Q, is the contact information. Is that the best way for people to get more information from you and to sign up and to get an appointment or maybe come and take a tour? Because you might have to start out with a tour before you can get us in the chair.
We can do it. But that contact information is the best currently. More coming soon as far as our social media and, you know, what have you. That will all be coming soon and added to the website. And my plan is to be very active in the community. Community service is very important to me, as is just being that place for the next generation. So once we are established, my goal, my plan with that is to just to open the door for mentoring and for shadowing, to just increase that representation and just that behind the scenes look at what it is to work in the dental field.
Well, I thank you so much for being on the show, for being a part of the broadcast, and for opening this clinic to make this a community safe haven for people. Thank you, Dr. Q, for being with us. It is 1:58, and we've got another hour of the Shaletta Show coming up.